It's a great blessing and privilege to be here. These words were coming to me as we were worshiping, that this sanctuary is saturated with the presence and the Spirit of Christ. Because there is a holy history in this place. And part of that holy history, or really central to that holy history, is God's heart for the nations. And I love to see the flags. I have to admit, I am a bit partial. We were in the back in the prayer room, and I looked down and I saw the Mexican flag, and I was a little partial. But the good thing is that our Heavenly Father loves all of the nations equally, and His heart is that we would be part of drawing the nations together towards the final time of history. And so I want to start with the passage from Revelation. It's one of my favorite passages, and it'll just give us context. I want to speak about the Holy Spirit on mission. And it says in Revelation chapter 7 and verse 9, "After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count. From every nation," and I repeat the word every, because it literally refers to each one of those things, "from every nation, every tribe, every people, and every language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb." The Word of God declares to us that He will have someone from every nation or people group or ethnia. He will have someone around His throne. And He extends to us the incredible privilege and challenge to be part of drawing those people to Him. And there is only one way that that can happen, and that is through the ministry, the work, the empowering, and the filling of the Holy Spirit. And so this morning, that is what I want to speak to you about. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You didn't leave us as orphans. Jesus said, "I'm going to send another, the Comforter, the precious Holy Spirit, who would fill us, who would counsel us, who would empower us, who would direct us. Direct us towards the heart of the Father to see the nations drawn to Yourself." Father, today with my brothers and sisters from Heritage Alliance Church, I want to give You thanks. I want to give You thanks for the people here who have faithfully prayed for our missionaries throughout the decades. I want to give You thanks for the people here who have sacrificed and given of their financial means so that we could go. I want to thank You for each person here who has built into the life of one of our international workers. And Father, I pray that You would come in the fullness and the power of Your Spirit this morning to refresh us, to reignite us, to help us realize that it's only through the presence and power of Your Spirit that we can live the life You've called us to, on mission to reach the nations, both the nations around our home and around our neighborhoods and the nations to the ends of the earth. We pray this in Your name, Jesus. Amen. In the early years of our time in Mexico City, from 1995 to 1998, we lived not too far from a Walmart. Get that, right? We're in Mexico City. And this is an international experience. This is a Walmart. And 50-plus checkout counters. Have any of you been to one that big? I mean, it's a big one. It opened 24 hours a day. I went there one time at 2 o'clock in the morning. It was full of people. I said, "What are these people doing here?" They probably said, "What are you doing here?" But anyhow, outside that Walmart, there was a very congested parking lot where we would always park. We would go to get our groceries. And there was a man, a crippled man. His arms were crippled up like this, and his legs were all crippled up and skinny, and he got around on a skateboard. And often as we left, so we would pay for your parking, and he would sit right there, and he would hold his little bowl there, and often we would give him something. And I remember the day when this strong thought came into my mind, and I know that it was the Holy Spirit. He said, "You should give him more than money." So the next time, I pulled over my car and I went walking over there and I sat down and I found out that this guy's name was Jose. I found out that he had been born completely normal but had contracted polio. I found out all kinds of things about him and I started to share with him about Jesus. And right there in the Walmart parking lot, the Holy Spirit, He touched his spirit, Jose's spirit, and he was born of the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is on mission. Around the same time, I had met a guy by the name of Arturo, and Arturo was at the he was an adult, a married man with kids, but he was at the university taking some classes, English classes, and I was taking Spanish classes, and we met and we started to share together, and I remember sharing the gospel with him, but then all of a sudden I lost his information. Have any of you lost contact information ever? Okay. It happens to me more than once. And I wanted to see him because we had already started to walk down this road and to share the gospel. And I said, Lord, I need to find him. But you've got to realize that the UNAM, the University of Mexico, has 325,000 students. Big campus. Well, actually several campuses. And this was a sub-campus. But even there was tens of thousands of students. And one Saturday morning I was praying, and all of a sudden I had this inner prompting. And we need to pay attention to these things. This is the voice of God to us. It said, go to the university and find him. I said, Lord, there's thousands of people there. But we need to be obedient. And that morning I was, and I went there, and I went, and I went all over the place looking here and there and everywhere I thought he might be. I couldn't find him. And I remember going back to the car and just thinking, well, I guess I just missed it. It must not have been the Lord. And all of a sudden I hear, Pablo, Pablo! And it was Arturo. And we got a chance to connect. And I knew that morning that the Holy Spirit was on mission. The Holy Spirit is on mission continually. It was just about a year ago, and I want to go back and forth, some from overseas and some from here, because the Holy Spirit is at work here. It's the same Spirit. It's the same voice. It's the same empowering. And I was in a church, our church in Dryden, and I preached on, I don't remember what it was, we invited people forward for prayer, and one of their elders, his name is Matt, and he's Australian. I don't do a very good Australian accent, but Matt said, "Ah, mate, this lady here, she needs some prayer." And so I said, "Okay," and we start to ask, and she had some kind of liver disease, very, very strange, and so we started to pray for her. We said, Lord, in your name we come and we thank you for the authority we have in Christ. And we speak healing to this lady's liver and stuff. And all of a sudden this Matt goes, oh, I see a picture. I said, oh, really? What is it? And he said, I see all these different parts, all these different pieces coming together. And he was a mechanic, by the way. There's a word in there for us. God speaks to us in our language. He really does. And he turned to the lady and said, do you sense anything? She said, I can feel things popping and snapping inside of me like they're coming together. And the Holy Spirit making Jesus real is on mission that evening. The Holy Spirit is always on mission. Through the Holy Spirit, the reaching of all the nations of the earth is totally possible. And without him, it is absolutely impossible. There's nothing more ludicrous than to try to be on mission without the fullness and the work of the Holy Spirit. Let's look quickly at Scripture and see three parts of what the Holy Spirit is doing. First of all, the Holy Spirit, he brings about new birth. John 3 and verse 3, Nicodemus is a Pharisee, religious ruler, and he hears these words from Jesus. Unless you are born again, you will never see the kingdom of God. And Nick says, what? How can you be born again? Imagine a mental picture in his mind forming. He said, I can't go back into my mother's womb and be born. Jesus said, no. You have to be born of the Spirit. The Spirit gives birth to Spirit. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit, Jesus says. The Holy Spirit brings about new birth. He is constantly at work, calling, directing, convicting, convincing to see people come into this new birth. Without him, it doesn't happen. So each one of us who knows Jesus, and I just love the worship this morning, you can sing that because you know Jesus. But if coming to new birth, for each one of us, was a personal encounter with Jesus through the Spirit. And I remember I was 5 years old. I was in the Nipawin Alliance Church. It was an evening service. I don't remember what the pastor preached on. Isn't that funny? That's what almost everybody says. I don't remember what the pastor preached on. But I remember what the Holy Spirit said to me. 5 years old, I just remember, I need to go forward. I need to know Jesus. And there in that little church, I can still remember coming to know Jesus. And I look at a five-year-old now and I say, how can that happen? But my little boy, he was only 3 and a half one day, and he was asking some of these questions. And I explained to him what it meant to be born again. And I said, would you like that? And he said, yep, that'd be cool. And he was born again of the Spirit of God at 3 and a half. Because it's not an intellectual exercise, it's a spiritual awakening. And so that night, I remember, I became a child of God. I went from death to life, from darkness to light. I came into God's family. That's what happens. That's what's happened to every single one of us here who have been born of the Spirit. And when it happens for you, you know it. Because the Spirit of God brings about new birth. We can't get to choose. We don't get to choose our physical birth dates. But we can choose our spiritual birth dates. And if there's anybody here this morning who does not know Jesus Christ, who has not been born of the Spirit, please don't leave. Come. We'll show you how you can simply walk into that relationship. So the Holy Spirit, He brings about new birth. And the Holy Spirit fills us. And if you look through the Scriptures, you will find different words. You will find the word filling. You will find the word baptizing. You will find the word anointing. You will find the word being gifted to us. And I don't think it's a matter of semantics. It's all about the presence and the person of God coming to fill us. So again, in the book of John, chapter 1, verses 26 to 32, John says this. He says, I baptize you with water. Verse 26, but the man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain, that's Jesus, he is he who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. John 1 and 33. And you know what? Historically and in the context, that even that phrase, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, some people have a negative reaction to it because of a negative experience. The enemy has stolen from us a biblical phrase. To be baptized by the Spirit is to be immersed, is to be surrounded, is to be filled. And so Jesus walked. He walked in this fullness of the Spirit, John 3 and 34. He preached about how streams of living water will flow from within those who thirst for Him. And the Scripture says, by speaking of this, He spoke of streams of living water. He meant the Holy Spirit in whom those who believed in Him were later to receive, John 7. 37 and 39. And so Jesus was creating this hunger and this anticipation for all who wanted this filling, this baptism, this anointing. And then in John chapter 14 and to 17, those three chapters before Jesus' crucifixion, we have a download, we have a divine download about the fullness and the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It was all in preparation for mission. It was all in preparation for the church to receive the fullness of the Spirit so that they could go on mission. John 14:6 says, I will ask the Father, and He will give you another counselor to be with you forever. John 14:25 says, the counselor, the Holy Spirit, will teach you all these things. And there are many, many more references to the Holy Spirit within those three chapters. And after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, He says to His disciples in John 20 and 22, He breathed on them and He said, receive the Holy Spirit. And obviously they did. And yet in spite of that, or in the midst of that, at the end of chapter 24 and verse 49 of Luke, Jesus says this to the disciples again. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised. That is the baptism, the filling, the anointing, the gifting of the Holy Spirit. So stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. And then even during that time, that those 40 days, Jesus again repeats in Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, He says, wait for the gift my Father promised. For John baptized you with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 8, 1 and verse 8, it says, you will receive power, dynamite, the ability to do. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. So the Holy Spirit brings about new birth. The Holy Spirit baptizes us. He fills us. He anoints us. I want to tell you a bit of my story. It was spring of 1987. I had spent 6 months studying the scriptures, first of all, and then church history, and then the history of the Christian Missionary Alliance. And you might want to say, well, why did you do that after you're graduating from Bible college? Well, there was a bit of an issue because I sat in my licensing interview, and they asked all the questions, and then Dr. Cook, some of you know Dr. Cook, I thank the Lord for him every day. Because if he hadn't had the courage to say this to me, I would never have sought. Well, I don't know if I would never have, but at least it was. This is what God used. He said, Paul, you seem to have some misunderstandings about the filling and work of the Spirit. You really need to seek God on that. And so we're going to wait to credit you. I walked out. I was mad. I was upset. I was indignant. I've been in Bible college for almost 4 years, and I've learned all this stuff, and I'm ready to be a pastor. And he says, I don't know about this. It's pride. It's just pride. And once God calmed me down, I took those 6 months, and I just sought God. And everybody's experience is different. We're not talking about duplicating an experience. We're talking about encountering the fullness of the Spirit. And so after 6 months, I was on a spiritual retreat, and Charlie Neenkirchen, one of the professors from the Bible College, was leading this retreat. And I went to this retreat saying, Lord, if this is from you and I need this and I know that I need this, will you please speak? We had a silent prayer meeting. Any of you been in a silent prayer meeting before? It's really quite cool. You just sit down and he said, okay, there was about 12 of us there, and he said, we had little 3x5 cards, and he says, just look at the person on your right and just say, Holy Spirit, you got anything that you want to pray for this person? And if something comes to you, write it down, and after, just hand it to the people. Two or three people, I can't remember, I think it was three, handed me a card that said, we feel like the Lord says that he wants to fill you with his Spirit. Is that not amazing? Nobody knew what I had been praying for. Nobody knew what I had been asking for. And so there on the beach, very simply, very quietly, but very definitely, Charlie put his hands on me and prayed for me for the fullness of the Spirit. And it radically changed my life. More like a bubbling brook that gains momentum than a great waterfall, I would say it that way. Everybody's experience is different. But you move forward 1 year, it was fall of 1988, so I moved into pastoring in Martinsville. And the Lord gave me freedom to preach on this topic. I preached for 6 weeks on the ministry and person and work of the Holy Spirit. And then that day, we just took time and said, if there's anyone who would like to receive prayer for this, if you're hungry for this, if you've received it and you need more of it. If you know, Moody said, you know, we're leaky vessels. Somebody else said, get under the spout where the glory runs out. I don't remember who that one was, but We need to receive constantly. But that day, in a context, our cultural context, were conservative Mennonites. All of these people, they had not pressed into this. I come from a Mennonite background. I can talk like this. And you know, that Sunday is the only time in my whole life in Canada where I've been in church for 4.5 hours. Because people stayed, and we just went one by one, and we prayed. And amazing things happened. And God so gently and kindly and according to their understanding and their... God came and it was amazing. It's Mexico City. Let's go in Mexico City. And then there we are. And I'm in lesson number 8 in our discipling pathway. And it's on the ministry and work of the Spirit. And Gilberto, who I've talked to you some about, he was my neighbor who came to know Jesus and is now one of our pastors. He's a lay pastor because he's a full-time lawyer. But how the Lord, the Holy Spirit came and drew him. And then as we went through this lesson, I said, Gilberto, is this what you would like? And he said, by all means. I just simply put my hands on him and I prayed a little prayer. I said, Jesus, come, fill him with your Spirit. You're the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. And this little phrase came to me. This one, Gilberto, this one is of the 100-fold. And I knew that God was saying, God is going to use this man. And Gilberto has led people to Jesus. He's resolved legal issues. He saved one of our poor widow's houses. It's amazing. All of that because he came and he received and he walks in the fullness of the Spirit. Not perfect. Not fully mature. But filled with Spirit. Mario is his brother-in-law. Actually, Mario came to Christ first. Mario's story is more, more show. That's not the right word. More fireworks and things like that. Mario, he came and I remember going down to Mexico in 2004 with a group of intercessors, four guys, and we went out to the military base. Mario was a military captain, and we said, Mario, what do you want? And he said, I want more of Jesus. I want more. I want the fullness of the Spirit. And us four guys, just ordinary guys, put our hands on him, prayed for him, and said, Lord, give him more. Give him more. Mario has gone on. He has an apostolic anointing. He pastors one of our churches. He sees people healed. He sees people delivered. He sees all kinds of stuff, more stuff than I've ever seen. And I know it's not him. It's the fullness of the Spirit in him and his anointing and calling. A guy was hit in front of their church. He was hit by a car. And they didn't call 911. I don't know if we have 911 in Mexico City or not, but they picked this guy up and brought him upstairs, and he is bad shape. What does Mario do? I would suggest calling a doctor. The Spirit and the doctor are not in contradiction to one another. They just gathered around, started praying, and Jesus raised that guy right up just like that. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. And so I ask all of us this question. Are Arnold Cook's words applicable to you and I this morning? Are we uncertain about this definite asking, this definite receiving, and this definite filling of the Holy Spirit? We receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit in the same way we receive the person of Jesus Christ, by faith, based on the Word of God. Takes all the guessing out of everything. And how the Lord manifests and what he does is up to him. But when the Spirit comes in his fullness, there is evidence. So today, through simple faith based on God's word, you can receive afresh and anew. And I've heard people say, well, I got that 20 years ago. Oh, no, my friends. If you read Isaiah 6, when the Spirit comes in, it's in the continuous present. It means that he came in and he kept coming in and he kept coming in and he kept coming in. How can you receive all of an infinite God? No, we continually receive more of him. So the Holy Spirit brings about new birth. The Holy Spirit baptizes us. The Holy Spirit sends us out and equips us to reach the nations. And the book of Acts has been called the Acts of the Apostles. And someone else wisely suggested that it should be called the Acts of the Holy Spirit. On every page, either the name of the Holy Spirit or the work of the Holy Spirit is evident. I just read through the book of Acts. It was wonderful. It's just amazing. And you just see it. Wow, look at that. Oh, look at that. And it's all an evidence of the presence of the Holy Spirit. And some people are worried if we talk too much of the Holy Spirit, we'll forget about Jesus. No, Jesus said, I'm sending the Holy Spirit so that he can make me known. We don't have to worry. The Holy Spirit will always glorify Jesus. The Holy Spirit will always recognize Jesus. And so when we talk about the Holy Spirit and missions, we understand that it's simply God in the person of the Holy Spirit sending us out and equipping his people to reach the nation. And a person does not engage in mission or should not engage in mission to reach out, whether it's to your neighbor or whether it's across the world. You should never do it on your own strength. The very presence of God through the Holy Spirit fills us and he equips us and he sends us out. Let's look quickly at the book of Acts because it's just right full of it there. There in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, they were together, it says. And there was a sound like a rushing mighty wind and it filled the whole house. And there was something that looked like tongues of fire that settled on each person. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And if you have your Bibles, move quickly to Acts chapter 2. And I don't know if you've seen this, and I've been Christian and a pastor and a missionary. I didn't catch this till a couple years ago. This is amazing. The first act of the work of the ministry of the Holy Spirit was missionary. It says in verse 5, now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And they heard the sound, a crowd came together, and because they were in bewilderment, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native tongue? And then there's a list of a whole bunch of places around the globe. Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretes and Arabians. The first words of the Holy Spirit were missionary. Have you noticed that before? It's amazing. Acts chapter 2, near the end of it, and Peter preaches in the fullness of the Spirit, and 3,000 people added to the church. The Holy Spirit's on mission. Those 3,000, it appears, were filled with the Holy Spirit, verses 38 and 39, and that mission expanded. Chapter 4, Peter was filled again. You say, well, wasn't he filled in chapter 2? Yeah, and he was filled in chapter 4 too. Why? Because we're leaky vessels, because we need ongoing, constant refilling. And the whole group that was gathered together was filled. And then you move all the way through. Chapter 5, it happens. Chapter 6, it happens. Chapter 7, it happens. Chapter 8, it happens. Chapter 9, it happens. Chapter 10, it happens. Are we getting it? We must have the fullness of the Spirit in order to be on mission locally and globally. I tell you a few stories. Paul Kuroma, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing his name correctly, he was a lawyer in the main Conakry church in Africa. Along with several other professional people, they began praying for a deeper spiritual life and power to serve the Lord, the ministry of the Spirit. And the Lord responded by giving them a desire for holiness and spiritual gifts of faith and discernment. Paul himself underwent a fast of 40 days where he neither ate nor drank. And I will clarify here, there's only two times in Scripture where we see that. That's supernatural. You should not do that unless you have a divine direction from the Lord. Physically, it's not possible. But fasting is possible. And so he neither ate nor drank. And at the end of that time, he began to use his gifts of discernment and faith in his work at the Department of Justice. So he wasn't a pastor. He was a lawyer as well. And hardened liars on the witness bench would break down and confess their crimes under the cross-examination. Sometimes with no evidence but what the Holy Spirit was telling him, he would describe to the criminal exactly what he did, when he did it, and where he did it, and they would cry for mercy. And many of the judges were astonished and called Paul aside to ask him about how did he do that. And Paul would have many chances to share his faith with them. One day, the deputy minister of justice called him into his office, heard his testimony, and despite being a staunch Muslim, asked Paul to pray for his epileptic son. And in the office the next day, Paul prayed for his boy and discerned that an evil spirit that had entered the boy through some animistic practice was the cause of the illness. He cast out the spirit, and the boy was wonderfully healed. The man and his son professed faith in Christ and came to church the next Sunday and testified of what God had done. Paul and others in the group continued to use their gifts, and many have been miraculously healed of blindness, lameness, sterility, and others. And when he was walking near a busy intersection one day, a young man lame from polio begged money of him, and he got a little more than that. Paul explained the gospel to the man and asked if he believed that Jesus Christ could heal him, and the man said yes. And Paul prayed for him in Jesus' name, at which a miracle of healing took place. The man's twisted limbs straightened out, and he started to run all over the place, shouting and praising God. The fullness and the power of the Spirit. It was a Sunday morning in Mexico. It was a church plant, maybe 40 people. A guy by the name of Rodrigo came in, and he was crying. He's probably 25 years old. He said, my friend is going to die. And we got the story. The backstory is Beto, his friend, was perfectly normal, living his life, 18, 19 years old, started university, and one day something went wrong in his head, some kind of brain thing, I don't know what the medical terminology was, but he went into a coma. And Rodrigo had just gotten a call from the hospital that said they're going to shut down all of the life support system. He's gone. And I want to be very careful how I say this, because the kingdom has come, but it's not come in all its fullness. And I prayed with great faith and fasting for my mom, who had cancer, and she died. And so I don't understand all the mysteries of healing, but Jesus Christ is our healer. It's part of his nature. It's part of his character. It's what he does. It's what ultimately he will do. So that morning they began to pray, and Rodrigo, in his grief, just, you know, basically said, "Lord, you know, take care of his family and take him to be with you." And I'm not saying that's the wrong prayer, but that morning it was the wrong prayer. The Holy Spirit said, "No, not now." And we just began to pray, and I said, "Lord, in your name, your word says that by your stripes we have been healed." It's in the completed tense, and in Psalms it says that you forgive all of our sins, which we don't seem to struggle with, but the second part of the verse is you heal all of our diseases, you redeem our life from the pit, you crown us with love and compassion. I said, "Lord, when you came here, you were healing people," and you even quoted in Matthew chapter 8, you quoted Isaiah says that what I'm doing here in healing and delivering is to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. He said, "Lord, it says in James, if you're sick, call the elders and pray." And you know, and we just started to cry out for God. And something changed in the atmosphere in that room. And on Tuesday morning, he came out of his coma, and he came out, and they unhooked all of his systems, and he was still sick, but he was alive. And it was a couple months later, he was at home. He came back to tell me the story. He lived in another city. He came back to tell me the story. He said, "You need to know what happened." He said, "I was laying in my bed, and I said, 'Jesus, I'm very thankful that I'm alive. I'm thankful that you've given me this life, but I'm still sick.'" And he said, "All of a sudden, I could sense Jesus in the room. I couldn't see him with my physical eyes, but I knew that he was there. I knew that he was at the end of my bed. And all of a sudden," he said, "I could feel his hand on my toes. And there was like an electric current that just went right through my body from my toes to my head." He said, "I was completely healed." That is the power of the Holy Spirit on mission. God in us, at work in us, to draw the nations and to draw individuals to himself. If we go back to the book of Acts, in chapter 4, there was this wonderful healing. Excuse me. There was this wonderful healing in Acts chapter 3, and as a result, the religious leaders, they were furious, and they hauled them in for questioning. And you know what? If you read through the book of Acts, every time God does one of these great big things, people get in trouble. So it's a word to us that when we step out in faith and in power and God does wonderful things, there's probably going to be backlash from the enemy. And Peter, who before melted under the questioning of a young girl, stands up with power and authority. It says, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, and went on to give a bold response. 4:13 says, they saw the courage of Peter and John. 4:31 says, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. The Holy Spirit gives us boldness. He gives us boldness. And I've said this in several different churches, boldness is not necessarily the absence of fear, but it's the courage to do what he tells you to do in the moment. Okay? Holy Spirit births boldness. The Holy Spirit launches formal missionary movement. Acts chapter 13, verses 1 to 3 is the launching of the formal missionary movement. The leaders are together. They're fasting and praying. The Holy Spirit says, "Set apart for us Barnabas, Saul, for the work to which I've called them." That's it. The Holy Spirit is at work on mission. Luke 10 is the passage we looked at this morning. It says, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into the harvest field. I challenge all of us to call out, and I challenge you to call out as a congregation, that under the guidance and the work of the Holy Spirit, people will be raised up from this church to be sent to the nations. Holy Spirit launches missionary movements. The CNMA is one of those movements, but we have lost. I am glad to say it is being regained. I was at our workers' retreat a couple of weeks ago, and we had one of our international workers, Barb and Earl Case, And right then and there, the Lord touched and healed her legs. She has arthritic knees, and she was waiting for a knee replacement. Doesn't look like it's going to be necessary now. And we saw, I ministered to another guy who had been a pastor all his life, and how he said, I've always thought that maybe there was some opposition of the enemy. And the Lord was setting people free. Holy Spirit on mission. Holy Spirit guides missionaries. I need to wrap up our story. I've given it to you many times. I don't know if we have. I will give it to you because there might be some of you, especially young people here. You think, well, you know, how does this happen? You know, God, the Holy Spirit speaks to you. He sets you apart. He anoints you. He commissions you, and then he guides you. And so we're getting ready. We're at the end of our 10-year preparation process, and we're saying, Lord, where should we go? And we don't get any answers. And all of a sudden, so we say, well, we're going to go to Africa then. We know we're called. We know the Lord has sent us. And all of a sudden, we get a call that said, would you consider coming to Mexico? And I said, no. I had no interest in Mexico, no interest in Latin America. But in the middle, we said, what if the Lord wants us to go there, in the middle of talking about it? We put it out before the Lord. We said, Lord, in the next 10 days, if you would give us money to go down and spy out the land, if you would speak to our leaders and give us their blessing and their approval, and most of all, if you would speak to three people who don't know what we're praying about, who would come to us and confirm that this is his will. I thought for sure we were just going to get to go to Africa. That looks kind of impossible, right? The next day, there was a check for $3,000 in the mail. After that, I talked to our leaders, our elders. We were in the middle of some big campaign, something. I thought, there's no way they're going to let us go. And they said, oh, if you think the Lord is calling you, you should go. I said, thanks. I didn't want to go. And over that 10-day period, my former roommate called me up and he said, I've been praying for you. I don't know what this means. But he says, I feel like there's a change in your direction. I said, oh, I think I might know what it means. Another friend of mine who I'd led to Christ, he calls me up and he says, I'm reading here in Acts chapter 16 where Paul wanted to go here and the Holy Spirit wouldn't let him, and he wanted to go there and the Spirit wouldn't let him. And then he went over there. He said, every time I read it, I think of you. I don't know what it means. I said, oh, I think I know what it means. And down to the 10th day, I said, Lord, we said, if you don't give us three. The phone rang in the office and it's a lady, an intercessor from our church. And she said, Pastor, this sounds really weird. I'm reading here in Corinthians. If you read the passage, it doesn't say anything about what I'm going to tell you. But I just read the passage, and the Holy Spirit says to me, Paul and Cindy were thinking about going this way. Now they're thinking about going that way. You tell them that that's what they should do. And that's how we were called to Mexico. He still is directing. So, as we conclude, I simply ask, do you want more? Do you want a fresh touch? There's always, always, always more. And the worship team is going to come. We're going to worship together. But if you want, you have prayer team, I'll be here. Pastor, if you would like prayer, just come and sit down here, and we'd love to pray for you and with you for a fresh filling of the Spirit so you can be on mission, both locally and globally, in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm.